From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, will be here to take up the cash grain market. And Drew Lerner will discuss today's agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, it is the one-year anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon explosion on the Gulf Coast. We'll talk with some shrimpers there and hear in that story some real parallels to Midwest row crop agriculture. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, from the CME Group, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished mixed. Nearby contract in the May soft red winter wheat down 3/4 at $7.85 today. July at $8.20 3/4 a bushel, down 1/4. The September up a penny at $8.59 3/4. Kansas City hard red July at $9.30 3/4, down 6 cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby May contracts at $7.32 3/4, down 16 1/4. July at $7.40 1/2. 16 1/2 lower. September future, $6.97 1/4, down 18 1/4. In December corn, $6.55 1/2. The new crop finished 20 1/2 cents lower. March futures there, down 21 at $6.63 1/4 a bushel. May soybeans at $13.57 3/4, 15 3/4 cents higher. July at $13.69 1/4, up 15 1/4. And the August at $13.71 1/4, up 13 3/4. November beans at $13.66. 12 cents higher on the day. The May bean meal at $3.49.20, up $2.80. May soybean oil at $58.14, 61 higher. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at $119, down 25 cents. June at $116.50, down 67 1/2 cents. And the April feeder cattle today at $132.70 per 100 pounds, finished down 15 cents. May futures down 17 1/2 for the feeders at $134.30. May lean hog futures at $102.90, down 12 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. Visit us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract up $3.17 a barrel at $111.45. Ethanol at $2.56 9/10, down 5 2/10 cents. Natural gas at $4.30 8/10 cents, up 4 6/10 cents. And the heating oil at $3.22 2/10, up 6 4/10. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,498.30, $3.80 higher. In the Dow, about 185 points higher, 12,452. The U.S. dollar at 74.37, down 0.65. The CRB index on the afternoon at 365.54, up 4.71. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Wednesday afternoon. Partly sunny skies for the Urbana-Champaign area. A high near 51 degrees, west-northwest winds at about 14 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 17. Tonight, patchy frost, that's right, after 4 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy. A low of 32 degrees. North-northwest winds at 7 to 13. They'll gust as high as 16. On Thursday, we should see a bit more frost before 7 a.m. Partly sunny, a high near 55 degrees. Northeast winds at 7 to 11. They'll gust as high as 15. And Thursday night, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two. Cloudy, a low of 43. East winds at 13 to 16. Gusting to 20. The chance of precip Thursday evening, 70%. And on Friday, showers and thunderstorms likely. Cloudy, a high near 62 degrees. Southeast winds at 16 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 23. Chance of precip on Friday, 70%. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms as we head into the weekend. Mostly cloudy, a low of 52. Another 70% chance of rainfall. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, a high near 66 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we talk with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I looked at the wire services, but just could not find really a good reason for the market to go lower in the corner, at least an explanation. Why did it happen?
Well, a couple things from point A to point B. Yesterday, we heard and talked and listened to some private weather forecasters indicating some models on the early May models would possibly turn a little warmer, kinder, gentler, and you know, some of the models confirmed that as well. Some of the ethanol usage had dropped off a little bit last week, and we did see a lot of whipsawing going on, and people had been basically buying new corn, selling old corn, and overnight with the wheat rally, those people got a big spanking. And also, at the same time, there might be just a drop or two of rain in that western wheat area, southwest part of the country. A couple things. We know that you know, the tough old bull in corn was quite long. He did have a chance to see daylight today, and he went to the you know, he went to the rail. Corn is very high priced, flat price wise, and as a result of that, we did see this big sell-off in the marketplace. Wheat and soybeans held very well. Crude oil, the stock market, the cheap dollar are all kind of positive in the marketplace. But we did see this big adjustment in the corn market. And I think more than anything, you know, we are seeing basis levels improve at the Gulf. And I'm sure the corn processors we'll have to jump their corn basis because of two things. The planting weather at some point in time means a farmer won't get off a corn planter to haul grain to town or to the processing plant. But we did see this sell-off. It was pretty violent, but we did still see beans and wheat trade and stay higher.
Yeah, without further trade, I take it you're looking at this one and saying this is a correction at least for the moment and not the start of something new.
Yeah, and it's well advertised. Everybody is talking about more corn acres. We did have some people that were very aggressively selling new crop corn and hedging and offering stuff for sale. And, of course, this big sell-off today, they were able to pocket some pretty good profits. And they did lighten up on some old crop positions as well.
Yeah, new crop corn had made a brand new high in that 680. Actually, they went to, what, 683 today. I don't remember how high they went yesterday. But that was a contract high. It's in that range. And then, of course, settled at 655 and a half today. Are you a willing seller of new crop corn?
Well, only if you have some sort of outside escape route or outside bull call spreads like we have on, you know, with several customers that we have, like a 650 call, 750 call, $7 call, $8 call. But the vast majority of people don't play the game that way. They just sell and walk away from it.
Yeah, so you've got yourself covered. You're not willing to make new sales.
At 650 tonight, no.
Okay, that's what the question was. And then on soybeans, where do we stand?
Well, the soybean market is horribly confused by China because if a American processing plant played the game like China, they'd be in the federal penitentiary. The Chinese are trying to keep their food costs down. They're manipulating the soybean market. The soybean crush margins have dropped. Their processing capacity has dropped. And as a result of that, you know, the soybean oil was stronger, and that was based on the crude oil market. But what we're finding is the soybean harvest is basically over with in Brazil. The crop's probably bigger, but the big producer is holding beans for dear life in anticipation of maybe some sort of a change of heart in China, maybe a good dry weather forecast in the U.S., or a combination thereof, and waiting for better prices. So the bean market was extremely oversold. We did see a nice correction in that market. and soybean oil and higher energy prices improve that market.
You don't think it's the start of a rally to try to gain, you know, garner any extra soybean acres in the United States?
I don't think the marketplace thinks that hard right now, and I don't think the speculative hedge fund people are ready to start that one yet either.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
You too, Paul. Thank you. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Paul had to say again, you can do it in a couple of ways. The first one is to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. And if you've done that already, you can help us out with our Commodity Week program be recorded tomorrow afternoon. We're going to talk to Joe Persaki, and if you've been busy in the field and haven't looked at your inbox, there's an email there from me, actually two of them, one for the weekend newsletter from last weekend, and the second one with a series of questions that Joe Persaki would like you to answer. They're about how you use the USDA crop production and grain stocks reports and some of the rest of the reports and what you think is usable and what should be changed and what might not need to be necessary at this point in time. Please do visit your own inbox if you're already signed up for our newsletter, and you can send those answers to those questions back to us. We'll be glad to forward them on to Mr. Persaki at USDA NASS, and we'll talk with him on Commodity Week about some of those answers tomorrow. It's all part of the service here at willag.org. The other way you can listen to the programming content, by the way, is dialing this number. It's 217-333-3434. If you dial that at around 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year, you'll hear either the opening or the closing market numbers and a bit of analysis.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. This is public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason. It was 1 year ago today that the Gulf of Mexico was rocked by the Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil began spewing up from the seafloor. That oil had an impact across the nation and certainly on the shrimpers that are about to start their brand new season right now. Debbie Elliott explores the last year and prospects for the new one.
Kim Chauvin is a woman in constant motion. When we first met her last spring, she was rushing around getting safety gear for the cleanup. A year later, she's getting ready for a new shrimp season. She unfurls a huge banner on her kitchen floor. It's for the community's annual blessing of the fleet and will go high atop the family's boat.
I really was going to do Nightmare on BP Street, but I was told that too many people look up to us in the community and that we are seen losing hope.
It would send the wrong message to the dozens of other shrimpers in their namesake Chauvin, Louisiana. Many of them unload their catch here on the dock behind Kim and David Chauvin's house on Bayou Little Caillou. The future is so uncertain after the oil spill, the local Catholic priest almost canceled this year's blessing, the traditional launch of shrimp season when boats parade down the bayou and are blessed with a sprinkling of holy water. Kim Chauvin says they are all tired, but need to come together now more than ever, and that's the message printed on her banner. Together we shall overcome.
With, Jesus in the clouds looking over the boat as it's trawling. This is totally like believing in God and trawling, because you have to have faith you're going to go out there and catch something.
Dozens of boats of all sizes line the bayou, all adorned with colorful flags and decorations. The Monsignor blessing the boats is riding on a Hudat vessel decked out in the saint's black and gold. Green swamp monsters are riding on another. There are also visual reminders of what the small town has endured, like a poster on the Chauvin's boat of former BP executive Tony Hayward in his yacht asking for his life back. The people in Chauvin, Louisiana want their livelihoods back. David Chauvin is in the captain's chair on the 73-foot shrimp trawler, the Mariah J, named after his daughter.
Most of the boats that you see down this bayou, these vessels were constructed by the men that run them. This particular vessel right here, I built this one 14 years ago. And when I say built, I mean built from scratch, from the first piece of 1-inch by 6-inch, the keel.
It was also one of the first boats to respond to the BP oil spill.
I can still remember the phone call. It was almost a year ago today.
A contractor for BP was on the line, wanting Chauvin to assemble a fleet of large shrimp boats to clean up oil.
Well, I had watched the news that morning, and as far as the reports they were giving at the time, everything was okay. There was no oil spilled. So that was my first question to him. I said, what oil? He says the riser pipe is disconnected from the drilling ship. He says the blowout preventer has failed, and he says this is going to be bad.
Chauvin agreed to help, pulling together what was dubbed Task Force 1, local fishermen in a grueling battle to capture the oil that was gushing unchecked into their shrimping grounds. They worked from April through September. His 25-year-old nephew, Chance McCorkle, captained one of the Chauvin's boats for the cleanup, what he calls their missions.
I don't miss it. The oil itself was gross. It stunk. Got all over everything, and it's just, it was hard to not let it get all over. It was thick.
The trawlers traded their shrimp nets for giant absorbent boom they would pull along the Gulf to soak up oil.
Easiest way to explain this is it looked like giant tampons strung out for about 100 foot.
McCorkle calls it a surreal experience.
It was just weird to be riding around, no nets on your boats, no ropes on your boats. You just like, you just don't feel the same. You know, you constantly hear noise, and it was just too quiet. All you heard was your engine and your radio. It's like, no, don't feel right.
The ropes and chains and nets are back on the Mariah Jade today, and she's got a fresh coat of paint, like most of the boats David Chauvin sees along the bayou.
I mean, everybody's out today. It's been a long winter.
If they're not riding on the boats, people are lined up on the banks waving at the passing parade of vessels. Chauvin says people here need this relief.
This has been probably by far, in all the years I've been fishing, the most stressful year of my life. We've always lived with, it's a fact that you have to live with when you are a commercial fisherman, the uncertainty. But we've never seen where you couldn't go to work.
Most of the Gulf is back open for fishing today, and word is the white shrimp crop is going to be a good one. But just in case, the Chauvin's pastor, Jeff Lloyd, seeks higher intervention.
Lord, we pray for the shrimp harvest this year, Heavenly Father, that you'd make the harvest plentiful, Heavenly Father, and the price for the shrimp right, Heavenly Father. May the fuel be the right cost this year, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Chauvins have a lot riding on this new season. BP has not paid them for last year's losses or the damage to their fleet from working the spill. Kim Chauvin says it's so unfair.
We got out there and worked our butts off to mitigate BP's damages. That's exactly what we did.
For the first time in years, she's had to borrow money to get back in business, and they're trying to sell one of their three large vessels.
It's a scary thing when you're looking at your future and you have no clue and you don't have a grasp on it. You're walking in blind, and you're about to spend money that you don't have in a way of continuing on with the business, because this is what we've done all our lives.
That's the Chauvin way, and why she says they could not have canceled this year's Blessing of the Fleet.
We need to stand up where our heritage is and really give something for our kids to look forward to.
No matter how hard the last year has been, Kim Chauvin says she has a responsibility to show her grandchildren that there is hope beyond tragedy.
That's Debbie Elliott reporting here on the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. We bring you that story in part because there are so many parallels to Midwestern row crop agriculture. All small businessmen, all subject to the vagaries of the marketplace, including the weather and outside influences.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Scott Butcher of the Andersons Delphi facility is with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I'm very, very well. Cash grain market today, I would think basis might be jumping for corn. Is that the case?
Yeah, we haven't really seen much change here in the last few days. I think if we have another day or two like we had today, then, yeah, we'll see demand get a little bit better.
Have you been able to capture any corn out of the marketplace on flat sales?
We really have not. We've not seen a lot of cash movement here lately. Things have been pretty slow. Obviously, the weather, I think, is keeping everybody out of the field. So, everybody's mindset is off on something else, apparently.
Yeah, and what are your expectations for both corn and soybean bases over the next 2 weeks? Producers don't look like they'll be in the field at least for, 7 or 8 days, maybe less than that if things dry up. But that doesn't look like that's going to happen too quickly.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't think we see a lot of cash movement anyway, even with the poor weather forecast. If we are not able to get out into the field, I don't think we see much movement anyway. I think a lot of what we would see nearby is probably already sold. I don't think we'll see a lot of new sales. So I think things will be slow here for a while, which, is going to be, bullish for basis. I think basis will probably increase on corn and soybeans both here in the short term.
And can you take a look at your ethanol processing plant for me in a couple of month time frame? So talk about the April, May, June, and then July and August, and the difference between those two time frames for the ethanol plant.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, we're going to see pretty consistent movement for those months. I don't think that we see a lot of change anywhere from April through July. We, have done a pretty good job of being able to procure corn for those months ahead of time. I think that we're, feeling in pretty good shape right now. The one thing, the big unanswered question for everybody is just, how much are the higher gasoline prices going to, affect demand and supply of gasoline here over the next few months? If it does continue to move up and we get above $4, how much do we see gasoline demand, continue to back off? So, that's the big thing that will affect the ethanol plant is, just what how that scenario plays out.
Scott, thank you so much. What are your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn $7.41, beans $13.40.
Mm-hmm. You have a great afternoon.
You too, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons Delphi facility there in Indiana and joins us on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1821, Franz Karl Achar died, a German chemist. He invented a process for the large-scale extraction of table sugar from beets. In 1801, he opened the world's first sugar beet factory in what is now modern-day Poland. In 1856, Robert Livingston Stevens died, a U.S. engineer and chip designer. He invented the widely used inverted T railway rail and the railroad spike. He found that rails laid on wooden ties with crushed stone or gravel beneath provided a roadbed superior to any known before. He also added the cow catcher to the locomotive and increased the number of drive wheels to 8 for better traction. In 1862, the first test of pasteurization was completed. The test container was opened at a meeting of the French Academy of Sciences. It contained dog's blood and urine that had been maintained at an elevated temperature, and neither liquid showed observable decay or fermentation, leading to the idea that foods could be heated to kill germs without significantly altering their chemical composition. And in 1999, the Disney film A Bug's Life was released. It was the first 100% digital DVD. It was transferred directly from the digital source to the compact disc. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the Closing Market Report from willag.org. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Please visit our website, the address again, willag.org. We're joined now by Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And weather forecast I'm looking at this evening, and I see a number that's really cold for, I think, this time of year. And I also saw frost somewhere written down. What do you think?
Well, it is going to be a nippy night tonight. We experienced that out in the plains last night, and it is shifting to the east. We've got a surface high pressure system that will be settling into the heart of the Midwest by tomorrow morning. That will be located somewhere over the central portions of Indiana and Ohio, and that's going to allow for a lot of substance to occur. This atmosphere that we're in, as you know, is pretty darn cold right now, and it doesn't seem to want to warm up, and all we have to do is clear off the skies tonight, and that temperature will bottom out fairly quickly. So we do expect to see temperatures fall into the 30s across a big part of the Midwest, and some upper 20s will probably occur in northern Indiana and a fair amount of Ohio, probably from central sections northward. So it will be a very cold night. I don't think we're going to cause any permanent damage to the soft wheat crop, but we will definitely burn some of that vegetative leaf mass a little bit.
And those big temperatures are a pretty big change, actually, from even yesterday evening. And, boy, what some thunder boomers that rolled through here last night.
Yes, it was a rather violent evening and overnight last night, and that is always indicative of these contrast in air mass conditions. We've had a lot of warm, moist air coming up in the southern U.S., this particular cold air mass obviously has been pretty impressive as well. So when these two decided to meet up from Missouri to Illinois, boy, it made itself known pretty quickly. Hopefully not too much in the way of damage has occurred to our listeners here.
And then if you look forward, what do you see for the Midwest?
Well, it looks as though we will be looking at yet another storm system. In fact, there'll be two of them. The first one comes across here, starts in the western Corn Belt, actually tomorrow, and will work its way into the eastern parts of the Midwest as early as tomorrow night. It'll be more likely a Friday event. Friday into Saturday, we'll see some more strong to severe thunderstorms developing again. This time it'll probably be just a little bit further to the south initially, but coming out of parts of eastern Oklahoma through the southernmost tip of Illinois into parts of Ohio. We'll see some heavy rain come with this event, but probably generally we're talking 3/10 of an inch to an inch of moisture, some locally greater amounts getting up to about an inch and a half. The second storm system will show up as we get into the early part of next week, probably Monday into Wednesday. And again, similar amounts of rain, another chance for some severe thunderstorms, and maybe even a little bit of snow in the upper parts of the Midwest.
Farmers would sure like to get into the field. Predictions on when that might happen?
I think things will switch a little bit as we get into the last days of April. And behind this last event I just described, but we'll probably see somewhere around the 28th, 29th, 30th, somewhere in there, we should see some higher pressure building in from the west. It'll be cold, but as that high pressure system comes in, we will start to warm up, and we should have a few days of good drying conditions. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if we get about a 5 to 7 day period where we might be able to get into the fields eventually. But don't look for this pattern to last forever. We are going to go back into some more cool and wet conditions. So be ready when the time comes.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. And you have a good afternoon, too. I'm Todd Gleason.